Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by the 2023 U.S. Senior Open. The 2023 U.S. Senior Open will be held at Century World in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, from Tuesday, June 27th through Sunday, July 2nd. Don't miss your chance to see the world's greatest golfers age 50 and over as they compete for the largest purse in senior major championship golf. Ticket options and packages are now available and can be found at ussenioropen.com. We'll see you there at the 2023 U.S. Senior Open at Century World in Stevens Point. Alongside Gary D'Amato, Rob Hernandez here. It is the first, yes, first Talking.Golf of 2023. And Gary, the stocking cap promotion is over, but as we look forward to 2023, the U.S. Senior Open clearly at the top of the marquee as far as events coming to Wisconsin. But before we get to that, you got your stocking cap, I understand. That makes one of us, Gary.
I did, and I didn't even have to buy tickets. I'm grateful to Century World for sending that to me. It's a cool stocking cap, Rob. It's like insulated on the inside. It's got like a, I don't know how to describe it, almost like a silver metallic kind of foil on the inside. And I put it on in the house and I had to take it off after 3 minutes because I started overheating. So it's going to be a great stocking cap for outdoors and the rest of this winter, Rob. It's pretty cool.
All right. I'm looking here because I tell you what, you only get one chance to get the good swag and I'm trying to see.
Yeah.
They don't have any of the new stuff. The USGA shop is showing me here only the stuff from Saucon Valley last year in Pennsylvania. You know, for sure, I'm getting a can cozy when those come on. And,
yep.
You know, ball markers are good. Obviously, polos, you know, sleeveless stuff. You know, I'm guessing, Gary, they know that I'm in Arizona. They don't think I need one, but I was wearing a Packers stocking cap the other night for bocce ball because we were playing under the stars. And we played golf this morning, and we can compare weather notes before we get started here. But I could see my breath on the first tee. And the thermometer said 40, but my breath said it was bone chilling cold. But you haven't gotten the cold that they're getting north of you, but so you're kind of in a good winter pattern right now, aren't you?
It's been really good. I mean, as good as it can get in January, I think, Rob. It's been, you know, from the low 30s to up around 40 for the last few days, and it looks like the extended calls for that same kind of weather for the next 5 or 6 days. So no cold snaps and no snow on the way, at least in the foreseeable future. And then, you know, I leave January 20th for the PGA Merchandise Show in Orlando. So if we can just hold on for two more weeks without getting some nasty weather, Rob, I'm good till the end of the month.
Are you taking your clubs along to Orlando?
I am. Yeah. I'm playing in the GWAA Championship. The first 2 days I get there, we're playing at Disney on the Disney courses.
No. Have you ever played those?
I never have. No.
Really?
Magnolia
Palms, and there was one other one we played in the old Oldsmobile Scramble. Back when they made Oldsmobiles, I guess. But those are fun courses. That's where I got introduced to, you know, this Bermuda grass. And down there, I mean, here in Arizona, the Bermuda, you know, typically we the ball doesn't find little places to hide. Down there, it was like, you know, they had a tuft of Bermuda here, a tuft there, and the ball would disappear in between those two tufts. And I go, what is this crap? You know? And then that's also, yeah, you got to learn how to, I guess, putt, you know, you have to read grain as well as break on the greens. And I have yet to take that class.
Yeah. Well, one of the rounds is on the, I think we're playing the Magnolia course. I believe it's just reopening after renovation. I think that's the one they use in the PGA Tour. That's where Tiger won, I believe, on Magnolia.
So. Yeah, I think they use multiple courses though for part of that because they tried to get and then they went to the last two rounds. I may be wrong on that. I'm not sure what daylight was available back then. That sometimes dictated it, but Magnolia is where they finished for sure.
And then I think
Yeah.
Osprey Ridge was another one we played for one of the rounds. So, and then there was a fourth round offsite somewhere in Orlando and like Falcons Ridge or something. And so that's, yeah, no, you'll enjoy that. Yeah, good for you. That's good. So we'll hope for the weather, but as far as, you know, we're going to talk here on Talking.Golf today about 2023 things we're looking forward to here that we, now that we've turned the calendar. And obviously, Gary, the U.S. Senior Open coming to town is a big deal. And as we mentioned, end of June, so July, June 29th through July 2nd is tournament week at Century World. They've put the fast facts up on the U.S. Senior Open website. And Gary, the course is going to play at 7,218 yards. You know, I think a lot of times people's impression of senior tour golf is that it's kind of the hit and giggle for the senior guys, and it's never more than 6,600 yards. And that ain't true, is it?
It's not, Rob. And I can't wait to see how those guys play the second hole, because for me, Rob, even from a forward tee, it's a back-breaking par four. It's like 440 from the front tee. And I can't hit that green in two. I mean, I hit a three wood and I'm 20 yards short of it if I hit a good drive. So I can't wait to see where they have that tee for those guys. That's going to be a 480 yard par four for those guys. And you're right. Century World is going to play long, but that should be the case in the U.S. Senior Open, right? It should be a very good test.
Eligibility for the U.S. Senior Open, anyone who is over the age of 50 years as of June 29th. And Gary, this is where you and I, we meet that, by the way. I want the record to show that you and I both meet the part where it says any professional and amateur golfer who is 50 years of age as of June 29th. We meet that. Now, this is the part where we got a little issue here, Gary. Handicap index, not to exceed a 3.4. I've been hovering around 7. And proud to say that I've played up to that the last couple of weeks in men's league, so that part's good. But boy, I mean, I'm going to have a I don't know what, a Steve Stricker putting metamorphosis to be able to get it to a 3.4 by June 29th. Man, holy cow!
I would love to see you try to qualify, Rob. That would be fun. You could do a first person on qualifying for the Senior Open. What if you got in? Wouldn't that be something? I'd have to cover you. I'd have to write about you.
But then I'd have to play a course that's 7,218 yards, and I don't know if we've ever done that. We don't even, not even the guys down in Illinois when we did the Illinois Wisconsin Riders Cup. They never even put the course back to the tips, did they?
I've never played. I can say for sure that I've never played a course that long.
Yeah.
So that'd be more than I could handle.
Oh, which hole was it you were wondering about for
number two?
Number two. Holy cow.
Yeah.
506.
There you go. And it's a par four. They're keeping it, right?
It is. Yeah, par four.
Yeah. That's a backbreaker, man. That is a hard hole. And there's water right, and there's a kind of a waste area or a place you don't want to be left. So you have to hit it straight there, too. So, yeah, that's going to be a good hole.
Number 10, 611-yard par five.
Yeah, that's a long dogleg right. Then 11 is going to be probably like a drivable par four at least one of the days, I would guess.
Yeah, they listed at 355, but that's one of the shorter ones there. You know, that one might be the one that they try to play around with. The flower.
Yeah, they could put the tee up on that one and play it like 290 or 300. But if you go over the green, you're in the water. So that'd be a great hole to play as a drivable par four.
The flower hole will play 202 yards, Gary.
Wow. Never played it that long.
No, I have a feeling that I'd be leaving a couple of pro staffs in the old flowers if I played that one from 202. No.
You'd
I don't play pro staffs. What's that?
You'd be tiptoeing through the tulips on that hole?
and I'd have Danny Rainbow coming out and shooing me out of there because nobody goes in the flowers. But speaking of Danny Rainbow,
that's right.
They do, if you go to ussenioropen.com, and they right now have the a neat little two-minute video about the history of the flower hole and how they grow the flowers each year with Mike James, Danny Rainbow, and Katie Cruiser, and who's the teaching professional there and the men's and women's golf coach at UW Stevens Point. And it's fascinating. They got some time lapse in there with as the flowers are being planted from last year, and it's an ordeal. And you think about, I'm not the one in the family who tries to grow stuff, Gary. So I don't have any frame of reference for, what it takes to keep a plant alive. From they do this that like Memorial Day weekend, and then it's good. These flowers are, and the actual planting of flowers that are being grown through the winter, and then they're good through the end of September typically. But the robust time of year when the color is the greatest is late July, early August, I believe Danny was saying in the video. And we both played it. I played it when there haven't been any flowers there, and that'll never happen again because it'll never be open, the course, to the public during that point when the flowers aren't planted. But it's the flowers when they're in full bloom. I mean, me and cameras on tee boxes, Gary. It's going to be a 5-minute media timeout at least.
And I talked to Robert Trent Jones Jr. about when he designed A Central World for John Jonas back in the early 80s. And Jones told me that he wanted to make that hole a par three over water. He wanted to put a pond before the green. And John Jonas actually talked him out of it and said, I don't know if this is in the video, I haven't seen what you're talking about, but
yeah.
Jonas actually said, I don't want a water hole, but what I'd like is, I'd like to have giant flower beds, and Trent Jones bought into it and thought it was a good idea. And lo and behold, that's what it became. And it's one of the most famous par three, certainly in the Midwest, if not the country.
Is number 16 a special number for Robert Trent Jones Jr.? Because 16 at U Ridge was designed to be the signature hole there with the, I don't know how many bunkers there are, especially once you get past the carry area, up by the green. I mean, it's kind of funny that both our Robert Trent Jones Jr. courses have 16 as their, but that one's very unique. How many times do you have a golf course owner talking the architect out of putting in a very good water hole? But that showed imagination. I don't know what else you could do to, besides flowers, that would be, that unique, besides windmills, that kind of thing. But
it's a great hole, and people who play Century will always whip out their cameras on that hole. And that's the hole everyone talks about, the flower hole. But the other 17 are pretty darn good.
The U.S. Senior Open, one of the few events on the PGA Tour Champions with a cut, the field of, is it 156? Where did we?
I believe
156.
So.
Yeah, 156 will get cut to the low 60 in ties for the final two rounds. And should there be a tie after 72 holes, a two-hole aggregate playoff will take place immediately following play. And Gary, because I just said that, there'll be a two-hole aggregate playoff that we can
probably
in real time, and then you can write about after that. And then what the champion receives, we'll close with this as we talk about the marquee event here on the 2023 calendar. They receive a gold medal. I had no idea there was a gold medal that went to the winner. I guess that's in keeping with a lot of the major championships. The custody for 1 year of the Francis D. Ouimet Memorial Trophy. I was not aware it was named after Francis Ouimet. And then exemptions into the 2024 U.S. Open. You know where the 24 U.S. Open is, Gary?
Pinehurst?
Ah, see, can't get anything past Gary D'Amato, folks. Course number two at Pinehurst. So you are correct. And that's why you and Dan Needles in trivia would be an epic battle. Exemptions into the next 10 U.S. Senior Opens. So there you go.
Wow. Yeah.
And after Central World, the U.S. Senior Open will go to Newport Country Club in Rhode Island in 2024, the Broadmoor in Colorado Springs in 25. And then I think this is pretty cool. They don't have any others assigned except for 2030. It's going to Spyglass Hills in Pebble Beach.
Nice. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's cool. Yeah.
So there's plenty of room for it to return to Wisconsin too. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we know Century World's going to get more stuff. Maybe not another senior open, at least for a while, but they're the USGA's insurance provider. They had a great US Girls Junior in 2019. And, this tournament's going to go, I think, very well. So USGA will be back with something there, Rob.
Okay, I got one other one because I just saw this little bit of trivia. Notable past events at Century World. I didn't realize they hosted the 1986 U.S. Women's Amateur Public Links.
Didn't is that one that did Vicky gets? No, she didn't win that one. I'm trying to think who won.
Cindy Schreier won that one.
Yeah, Cindy Schreier. It was would have come to me if you would have given me another minute.
Well, this one will come to you because you they also hosted the 1993 Wisconsin State Senior Amateur, won by.
Oh boy, the state senior in '93. I don't know, Rob.
Archie Dadian.
You snuck one past me.
Who? Archie Dadian.
Oh, Archie won there, huh?
A past champ at Century World, the late great Archie. Awesome. Dadian. And
yeah.
Susan Lee Kolb won the women's state senior amateur in 2010. Excuse me. And then the U.S. junior girls won by Lee Yu, right?
Right. China. Yep.
Anyway, I'm all choked up over the U.S. Open. What else is on Gary D'Amato's marquee as far as tournaments?
Well, I mean, the state stuff, obviously, is going to be the State Open and the State Am. I always love covering those, and you'll be joining me at both those, right?
That is correct.
As the plan goes. Yeah, that's great. And then, you know, nationally, I'm looking forward to my 30th Masters, Rob, coming really? Up here in a couple, 3 months. 3 months from now, I'll be in Augusta, yeah. Hopefully get to cover the U.S. Open this year at Los Angeles Country Club. And I believe, and Jim Murchison is there now, our old friend from, Whistling Straits, Blackwell Front. Right.
Yep.
He's the head professional there. Yep. So, and you know, all the state stuff, Rob, but you know, we love covering those events. We know all the people and it's, you know, it gets some good, views on our website and it's always fun to get around the state and see those courses in tournament shape.
Well, and I shocked, I guess, a little bit at how much, you know, interest there was in our live stuff, as well as the stories that we wrote off of the State Am, State Open last year. And this year, Gary, with the State Am at Erin Hills and the State Open at Century World, I mean, you know, we joke about the embarrassment of riches that we have in golf courses and golf facilities in the state. But to have, I mean, for the amateur golfer especially, to be able to have your two marquee events at public facilities like that is just staggering to me. And you go back to when Century World opened, and you know, if you were an amateur golfer in the state, you almost always were going to country clubs to play your state championships. And those weren't courses you could just walk in on. You'd have to, you know, schedule a practice round. And but now that whole component changed. And I feel like 2023 will be a celebration of the great golf that we have, both from a public facility standpoint and a private club's, you know, standpoint, because we have, you know, the Wisconsin State Women's Open going to Blackhawk Country Club, and a number of other private facilities hosting some of the other great events in the state. So it's really, to me, a wonderful smorgasbord of golf here for 2023.
No doubt, Robin. I'm so glad that the USGA and the WSJ, you know, got away from going strictly to private clubs for their major marquee championships. You know, that's been 25, 30 years in the making. Well, going back to, I guess, when Pebble Beach hosted its first U.S. Open, I think, 72, which Nicklaus won. But yeah, I love to see the mix of private, public, and WSJ has done a great job of that, of, you know, last year going to Ozaukee Country Club, a great private club for the State Am, and now this year going to back to Erin Hills, a public course. So I love that mix of private public.
To that point, the Wisconsin State Senior Open, we played September 5th and 6th at Maple Bluff Country Club. So you've got, yeah, you know, again, a classic course. And when I was talking to Joe Stadler about, you know, the State Women's Open being at Blackhawk, you know, they can actually play the tips at Blackhawk as the tournament yardage for the Women's State Open, because that's what they played, about 6,300 yards. And yet that course has hosted a state match play in recent years. But it is becoming more challenging to take the state open to Madison, because most of those private clubs were built in an era when there just wasn't, you know, were on property that, you know, unlike Augusta, where they always seem to find more places to add yards to holes. You can't do that at Macomb or Maple Bluff or Blackhawk. You kind of have to let the greens, the bunkering, the rough determine, you know, the you know, how difficult the course plays. So I think it's great that while it may be difficult to try to bring a state opener stadium back to a place like Maple Bluff, now we're giving people who really grew up on the game and appreciated those kind of courses the opportunity to compete there here, you know, in their golden years of competitive golf. A great location, I think, for the state senior open.
Yeah. Do you think we'll see a state open at TPC Wisconsin someday? I would love to see that.
Yeah, I think so. And that's, you know, I think in talking to, I talked to Thomas Fazio about the women's golf, talked to Andy Landenberger about the junior golf for the stories that we're writing for the Wisconsin.golf yearbook. And then I talked to Joe Stadler and he thinks so. You know, I think a lot of people are still trying to figure out what, and probably including Dennis Tiziani at the old Cherokee Country Club, now TPC Wisconsin, as to what you can and can't do, what, you know, how many days, you know, can you, you know, allocate the course for tournament golf? How much of that golf has to be related to the PGA Tour? If, you know, indeed there are tournaments that way that want to come there, it could be even a, you know, it could be a Canadian Tour event. It could be a Corn Ferry Tour event, you know. So, you know, how is that mix? I think there's still a lot of questions there. And, you know, I think a lot of people still don't know how that course is going to play. I think we all, I think ultimately it'll play great, but so many people still see that block of land as Cherokee Country Club. But now you and I have seen, you know, the pictures, we've seen it in person. You know, it's a totally different layout than it was before they brought the bulldozers in.
Yeah, it is. And I, you know, from what I understand, I haven't been out there yet. Looking forward to getting out there in the spring, maybe walking it with Stricker, who did a bulk of the, you know, design work or the redesign work. But yeah, raising all the fairways, you know, to get them off the peat and get them off the, I know there was problem with sometimes with water and fairways and that kind of thing in the past. Mm-hmm. That's all going to be gone. So yeah, I can't wait to see it, Rob. It sounds like it's going to be a great spectator course too, for when tournaments do come there, with, you know, mounding and access points for spectators that can see multiple holes. So looking forward to seeing it. I've only seen pictures so far.
And I think it'll be good too. I think there'll be some characteristics of like Brown Deer Park with, you know, waterways meandering through the course, you know, maybe in places that you think, oh gosh, you know, what you'd have to decide whether I'm trying to, you know, blow it over the creek or whether I'm trying to, you know, lay up short and still have a shot at, you know, at hitting a green in regulation. So I think there'll be some components of that because you just can't take those out. You can't fill those in. And what they've done is actually clean those up. And so I think they're going to be more noticeable and they're certainly going to be part of the visual intimidation that TPC Wisconsin has. So we'll talk more about TPC Wisconsin a little bit, but as we segue, Gary, from tournaments in 2023 to players we're going to watch, who on your list of players to watch are you most interested in seeing, you know, have either a breakthrough year or a rebound year here in 2023?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, some of the guys, the younger guys who have turned pro in the last year and don't have status yet on any of the major tours, I'm anxious to see, you know, where they get to this summer. And I'm talking specifically about guys like Hunter Eichhorn and Harry Ott, so those guys I know I don't think have any status anywhere at this point, right? I don't believe they do,
not technically. I think Harrison, yeah. Ott, and I think I don't know what the carryover, you know, both Harrison Ott and Thomas Longbella didn't they both get into the Canadian Tour Championship last year,
and so yeah, they did.
I think that's going to get them some form of status this year. I, you know, again, some of these tours, their status is, you know, locked up in a vault somewhere in the middle of Florida, and you just don't know. And it changes from year to year. But I think they're going to have some form of status. But again, and then things get reshuffled so often that, you know, no status when you're making your way up to the PGA Tour is ever secure. To your point, it will be a very big year for those guys who have played the Canadian Tour last year and need to use it now to get through stages of Corn Ferry Tour qualifying, because that didn't, I think both those two guys got through one stage because of their finishes in Canada last year. They really need to get to that final stage. And then that kind of makes the process, I'm not going to say it's ever easy, but it makes it easier as you're trying to get to the PGA Tour. But those are two, a couple of guys that you really need to, I think, pay attention to.
Yeah, and then on the women's side, you know, Bobby Stricker and Emily Lauterbach are going to get some starts on the Epson Tour, and depending what they do with those starts, they could wind up, you know, playing a lot of time, a bulk of tournaments of the schedule on the Epson Tour, and I'm excited to see what they can do. And how about you, Rob? Who are you watching?
I'm looking at because he's fresh in my mind, Pearson Hunt needs a bounce back year at the University of Illinois. He's kind of, I call him, you know, kind of the godfather of college golfers right now. He's the elder statesman, I guess is the word I use. And not that there aren't guys that are, you know, further along than junior year in college right now and gals, you know, from the state of Wisconsin. But he's the guy that Illinois is ranked number 7 in the country, Gary. And if Pearson plays to his ability, and they've got, is it Aiden Du Charmant is another guy down there for the Illini and my team. And, you know, among others that could do some serious damage at the NCAAs. This is both an individual in Pearson Hunt and a team in Illinois that, you know, we could see on our TV sets come May at the NCAA championships. And I know, and I was shocked. I mean, when Harrison Ott was the only guy I got to watch at the 2022 NCAAs out here at Greyhawk, you know, I totally expected Illinois to be there. And they finished 6th, I think 4 shots, 5 shots, out of the last berth up at the Yale golf course in Connecticut. And Pearson told me multiple times last week when he was here for the Patriot All-America that is really eating at them, and they do not want that to happen again. Their talent is clearly that of an NCAA championship team. So I'm looking for him to bounce back. And we talked early, you know, too, about, you know, before we came on our podcast, Gary, in the context of Central World not only hosting the U.S. Senior Open, but the Wisconsin State Open, you know, a lot of that at that time of year, the field is based on who qualifies for the U.S. Amateur. Last year, Jack Schultz and Pearson Hunt made it, so they weren't at Ozaukee. This year, the Canadian Tour could have as many as 5 or 6 guys. You know, we don't even know because the qualifying process begins here in late January and continues in through April before they start their season in late May, early June. So there could be scheduling conflicts there. You know, Steve Stricker, when I was out at LPGA Tour Q School last fall, talked about coming back to play in a state open. And I told him, you know, well, you know, you're going to be playing Central World in June or July, in early July. Why not come back in August? You know, the senior tour is up in Seattle and Vancouver, the two sides of the state open. But then we were kind of speculating, they're still giving an exemption to the winner of the Wisconsin State Women's Open into the Wisconsin State Open. Wouldn't it be cool for Steve Stricker and Bobby Stricker to play in the same state open? And, you know, I mean, Century at 72 might be a little bit long for Bobby, but, you know, at the same time, Bobby Stricker and Emily Lauterbach have both told me they need to play longer courses to make what they're doing on this year on the Epson Tour seem easier. I think that would be the biggest thing I'm looking for, Gary.
Yeah, that would be huge because, you know, if Bobby would win the Women's State Open, make it into the State Open, you know, Steve would play. You know, he won a state, as you well know, Rob, he won a WIAA title there in 1984 when he was at Edgerton High School. And he is, and as you said, he'll have played the course a bunch of times, you know, just a few weeks before the state open in tournament conditions. So if Bobby would make it in, I would fully expect Steve and Nikki and Izzy and the whole gang to be there. That would be cool.
Oh, and Uncle Mario's got an exemption as a past champion.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that could be a huge family affair. And, you know, but again, the senior tour is up in the, you know, the Great Northwest. We'll see what events Mario gets into, but he's had good success, you know, playing in Wisconsin. There's a lot to look forward to there. And, you know, there's just, I mean, you look at the deep list of high school golfers that have made an impact. Mason Schmidtke, William Harned, you know, the player of the year this past year. Jessica Geiser is someone who's going to have a huge year because she's been for a long time the kind of the marquee golfer in the class of 2024. And she's been at IMG Academy. She comes back to play and stuff during the summer. But this is going to be the year, Gary, where we find out where she's going to go to school. And I think she needs to kind of, you know, maybe make a statement this summer. She's another one I look for there too.
Yeah, there's going to be no lack of storylines this year, as there always is every year, Rob. It's going to be a fun summer. And I can't wait. It's you're coming back for the whole month of June, and you're coming back. Are you coming back then a few weeks later for the state open? Is that the way it's going to work?
Be there from, I think it's the state high school championship, June 3rd and 4th, 4th, no, 5th and 6th. And then all the way through the states or the U.S. Senior Open, which ends July 2nd, fly back here for a couple weeks to get warm again or slash hot, and then come back to the state am at Erin Hills, head back and then come back for the state open at Central World. We've got two stays in Stevens Point, Gary, and we're going to have to find an opportunity to get over to Bullseye. Where else haven't you played for Wisconsin?
Yeah, I haven't played a lot of courses. I think I played both Lake Arrowhead courses, but I have not played Bullseye.
Okay.
I think I walked it during State Am one year, way back when. Did Stricker win a State Am there, or was it J.P. Hayes? I forget.
Yeah, one of the two. I mean, that was one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Steve did not win a state high school championship at Bullseye. I can tell you that, because it went, I think it went back there the year after Central World, and it was there the year before. And, but yeah, so I think he won something at Bullseye. I think it was a state am, but, yeah, we got to get you there. And we, trying to think, boy, it'd be really cool if we get on one of the two private clubs in Wausau. I've never played Wausau Country Club, and I've heard great things about it. I was talking to Joe Stadler and Andy Landenberger, and Wausau Country Club stepped up and hosted a junior tour event last year, and it was a huge success. Kids loved it. It's a great old, course with a great history there. And, that would be kind of cool, but we have to actually cover golf too while we're there. But maybe on either side, maybe we start getting into town a couple days early for scouting purposes. But so those will be great ones to look at there. We should quick tell you that you're listening to Talking.Golf. Talking.Golf sponsored by the 2023 U.S. Senior Open, which will be held at the aforementioned Century World in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. That's Tuesday, June 27th through Sunday, July 2nd. And you can go to ussenioropen.com. Ticket options and packages are now available. Gary got the last stocking cap, that promotion done. But, I tell you what, a ticket to the U.S. Senior Open is going to get you a front row seat to some of the greatest names in the history of the game of golf. And that'll be at the 2023 U.S. Senior Open at Century World. Last topic to get to here in our look ahead to 2023, Gary, and it's a fun one because we never really know what's going on in the world of course development. We talked about the TPC Wisconsin. I think that's probably front and center, the course that has the opportunity to make the most immediate impact in 23. But there's other courses that are in facilities around the state that don't really sleep, either in course additions or course redevelopment, but certainly that kind of stops and starts up at Sand Valley, because they've got one course that had a soft opening last year, will have its grand opening this year, and then another course that might follow the same timeline at the end of this year into 2024.
Yeah, that's right, Rob. The Lido was open to had some soft play last year, some member play, and is going to fully open this year. And that one has everyone across America excited, because it's a faithful reproduction of a famed course on Long Island that was bulldozed basically in 1940 by the same name, the Lido. And Tom Doak has come in and faithfully reproduced everything about that course, from the ripples in the fairway to the contours of the green to the depth of the bunkers. So it's not just a facsimile. It is the Lido come to life again. And I can't wait to, hopefully there'll be a media day up there. It's going to be a private club with some tee time availability for Sand Valley guests, but I'm hoping to sneak up there and see it and play it. And then you're right, Tom Doak simultaneously is working on Sedge Valley, which is going to be the, I guess counting the Lido, it would be the fourth big course up at Sand Valley, which it seems like there's new development up there every few months, Rob. And Sedge Valley is going to open in 2024. It's going to be a 6,200 yard course, par 68, which flies in the face of a lot of golf development these days, where a lot of people seem to think bigger is better. But knowing that Tom Doak is designing that one, I'm sure it's going to be spectacular.
Well, absolutely, and I'm glad you mentioned his name, Gary, because Tom Doak made headlines this last week. I don't know if you caught it, but while he's wrapping up his work at Sand Valley, he has been tabbed to build the 10th course at Pinehurst Resort in North Carolina. And that's a huge feather in his cap. I mean, And, you know, and his work has just, you know, been spectacular from coast to coast. But what great timing for the Sand Valley folks that a guy who's going to be designing the Pinehurst number 10 is also going to be on the design mantle over at Marquee over at Sand Valley. That's a big thing.
It is. Tom is, you know, one of the most respected and well-known golf course architects in the world right now. He's got a great portfolio, and not a lot of people know this, but he actually was brought in by some people to do a routing on what is now Erin Hills, you know, before Bob Lang bought the course and hired Herdson and Fry. And so there's a routing, a Tom Doak routing for Erin Hills that exists out there somewhere. And it would have been interesting to see what he would have done with that piece of ground. But the guys they wound up hiring, Herdson and Fry and Ron Witt, did a spectacular job anyway. But yeah, Tom's work is excellent. He has a great feel for course design and for making his courses playable, challenging, scenic, all the things you want in a golf course. You'll find that at Tom Doak course.
Well, and so we pair Tom Doak with he has not yet designed one at Sand Valley, but Bill Corr and Ben Crenshaw designed the original. Was that right?
Yes. And then David McClay Kidd did Mammoth Dunes, and Corr and Crenshaw did the Sandbox, the par 3 course. So they certainly have a great stable of, you know, some of the best golf course architects in the world have built their courses right here in central Wisconsin.
And of course, this weekend is PGA Tour season opens with the Century Tournament of Champions on the Plantation course at Kapalua. That's also a Bill Corr, Bill Crenshaw course, Ben Crenshaw course. And, you know, we say this almost matter-of-factly, Gary, but I mean, doesn't that kind of say something about the level of Wisconsin golf that, you know, we thought it was a big deal when Arnold Palmer came in and built, what was it, the Bog, and Jack, the Bull, and then the you know, the three legends down at Lake Geneva with Palmer, Player, and Trevino. I mean, this is just kind of, I don't want to say it's gotten out of hand, but it is sure made for a nice assortment of golf courses for you and I to play.
Oh, absolutely. And then, you know, we've got two Donald Ross courses in our state, Rob, Kenosha Country Club and Oconomowoc Golf Club. And Donald Ross might have been the most famous architect, certainly in the golden age of architecture. He was right there with Alistair McKenzie and, you know, Seth Rayner and a couple others. So, yeah, there's a wide variety of great golf course architects who have put their stamp on our state.
So beyond Sand Valley, TPC Wisconsin, I was going to ask you, Gary, if we, you and I were enlisted for, and not that anyone's asked us, but what in your mind would make TPC Wisconsin successful from a, you know, a golf mecca standpoint? I mean, it's one thing to open the course in a TPC mold, but what are you hoping its impact will be on golf in Wisconsin?
That's a really good question. I mean, at some point, it's probably going to host tournaments because a lot of TPC courses do nationwide. You know, I think having Steve Stricker's name on the design is huge. I think people can't wait to see what he will do as a golf course architect. And this might lead to other jobs for Steve. I mean, I don't know how active he wants to get. You know, he's got daughters playing golf. I don't know how much he wants to, and he's still playing golf at a high level. I don't know how much he would want to take on from a design standpoint, but that's what excites me, is I can't wait to see his imprint on the course and what people say about it and what about people say about him as an architect. How about you?
I'd like it to, I echo what you think there. I'd like it to become or be available to become a mecca for teaching professionals to kind of, you know, it's centrally located, and I think it'd be a great place for teaching pros to be able to give back, especially the junior golf game. And, you know, with Travis Becker on the staff now back at the TPC Wisconsin, he was there when it was Cherokee Country Club, and he's done outstanding work at the Beloit Club and Ironworks Golf Works in Beloit. I think what I'd like to see is a stable of instructors, because of what Dennis Tiziani and Larry Tiziani have done for the game. In addition to being outstanding players, you know, former state open champions, they have really, in my time covering junior golf, have been the instructors that have, you know, been the first. I mean, you've got people going back to Steve himself when he went to Dennis. That's how he met Nikki. He was a student of Dennis's when he was going to go to Illinois and trying to get better. All the guys that Dennis coached at the University of Wisconsin, I'd like to see a number of, emerging teaching professionals really harness what Dennis and Larry do, what's made them successful. They're not going to be with us forever. And make that, I'd like to see this be a legacy course from Dennis, for Dennis and Larry, from a teaching perspective. And I just think, you know, with where it is in relation to Milwaukee, with where it is in relation to Eau Claire and points north of, Stevens Point, Wausau, I think it'd be an excellent place for kids around the state to come and learn from the best and learn principles that were pioneered by two of the greatest teaching professionals of our generation, and no doubt influenced by others that they worked with in the Wisconsin section of the PGA of America, like Manuel De La Torre, you know, because there was great competition at one point, Gary, still is, but it's kind of harnessed and projected differently among the teachers. But I think it could become a great learning destination for golfers in Wisconsin. And I'm more in tune with the junior golfers, but it could be that for golfers of all ages.
Yeah, and to that point, Rob, you know, the Steve Stricker American Family Insurance Academy is going to be located at TPC Wisconsin. Travis Becker is going to run that academy, and I'm sure he's going to be able to hire a number of young, good instructors and teach them the Tiziani / Travis Becker method of instruction. And, Travis, was a mentor to many people at many young teachers at Beloit Club and Ironworks, and I think the same thing's going to happen at TPC Wisconsin. So I think what you're talking about, Rob, is I think that's going to happen there.
I think it's going to happen. It'd be interesting to see, you know, what barriers there are. I think the as a former junior golf parent, that's always the thing that I think scares a lot of, you know, parents of junior golfers is, how do I get my kids the access to the best instruction? And I hope it's easy. I hope it's, I think it will be, because I know Dennis has done great things in conjunction with the First Tee of South Central Wisconsin. So I'm excited to hear that. And, but I hope that becomes, you know, an initial emphasis while we're waiting for the course to develop to the point where we know what's going to be held there and when, and how other things might be, you know, satellited around it as far as tournaments and, you know, men, women, juniors. I think it has a really a huge potential to be a impact facility at a number of different levels, but that's exciting. Any other courses that, Gary, that we've, I think we know that Silver Spring Country Club in Menominee Falls might be in the process of a downsizing from 36 to 18. But there was one point where they weren't going to have any holes left because it was going to be all, you know, housing tracks. I think it's important, Gary, as we look forward, I hope we don't contract too much golf in the Milwaukee area, because I think we're sort of nearing that point where there might not be enough golf courses available for the demand, at least the demand I saw last summer. And I'm sure you saw the same thing.
Yeah. Hopefully there won't be much more contraction. And I don't see any, at least I don't know of any new course construction on the horizon that we haven't talked about here. So maybe somebody out there is planning another course somewhere, but I certainly really haven't heard of it yet. But the demand is there. I mean, COVID has brought golfers out of the woodwork, and I could see more construction coming. I don't think we're done at Sand Valley. I think there's going to be ultimately probably 6 or 7, maybe 8 courses there, Rob. The Kaiser brothers own 13,500 acres, so they have, and they're still buying land. So there's plenty of room to do more up there. That's going to be dictated by demand. As long as the tee sheets fill up at Sand Valley and there's a demand for more, they're going to build more golf. So at least in that part of the state, I think we're going to see more golf built, but I can't speak for the rest of the state at this point.
Yeah, and we really don't know what's happening with the fifth course at Kohler as they get to work through their, dealings with the DNR. But I know that the late Herb Kohler, that was his vision to, you know, get one more course built, and it won't be quite the same without Herb and without Pete Dye, but we've got heirs to both that would probably be involved there. And that might be the next one that we hopefully in 2023, we'll see some progress one way or the other. Either it'll get built or it'll say no more and we'll move on, and maybe Kohler Company will look elsewhere to add to its empire.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. I should have mentioned that. I think there will be a fifth course there. In fact, from what I understand, Rob, they're in the process right now, the cooler company is, of finding an architect to finish what Pete Dye started, because he did do a routing there. Mm-hmm. And they're actively looking for an architect to finish his vision. So it could be Chris Lutzky, who was Pete's right-hand man and did the bass at Blackpool Front, or it could go in another direction and hire a bigger name architect. But that's going to be, I think, when that announcement comes sometime this year, I think that's going to be a big one in the world of golf.
Well, I tell you what, it's a good thing we have a little bit of time to catch our breath this time of year, because what's ahead of us, Gary, is looking exciting. It's looking a little bit daunting, but I think this is why we have the site. This is why we have the podcast, because there's never a shorter thing to talk about when it comes to golf in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's for sure. We just filled an hour, Rob, and I thought this was going to be a half-hour podcast.
I know.
Here we are in an hour again.
Here too. We got going. Well, we will wrap it with that. Gary, we appreciate your time here on Talking.Golf, and we will tone it down next week. How does that sound?
I'm enjoying it, Rob, so as long as you want to go, I'm not tired of talking.
All right. Well, Gary, appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
Okay, Rob. Thanks.
Talking.Golf, sponsored by the 2023 U.S. Senior Open. That's the event that got us talking today, folks. The 2023 U.S. Senior Open will be held at Century World in Stevens Point from Tuesday, June 27th through Sunday, July 2nd. Don't miss your chance to see the world's greatest golfers age 50 and over as they compete for the largest purse in senior major championship golf. Ticket options and packages are now available and can be found at ussenioropen.com, along with some other great content, including a great video piece talking about the Flower Hole, the famed 16th hole at Century World. So go to ussenioropen.com for tickets to the 2023 U.S. Senior Open at Century World in Stevens Point. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.